Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, just reach nearby in the song rack somewhere. There is a Bible. If you're an adult and you do not have a Bible, take that home as a gift from Westside Baptist Church. We'd like to have you have your own Bible. I like to, from time to time, have a start out with a strong time of congregational prayer. And I would like to start my prayer, and then I'm going to say, now it's your turn to pray privately. When I say that, I would like you to say, Lord, just in your own heart to God, speak to my life. Help me to have a voice from heaven speak to me. Help me, Lord, to be willing to do whatever it says. And ask God to give you the courage to follow whatever he shows you today. So I'll start to pray, then you pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us this morning. We yield this time to you. Thank you for each person, Lord, that has come underneath the sound of the gospel. Be with the junior church and the beginner church. Be with our nursery. Be with the Spanish translation this morning. But now, Lord, be with me as I speak. I need your abilities. I am not able in myself. I'm only able in you. So help me, Father, to speak all that I should, nothing more, and hopefully leave nothing out. And now, Father, as we personally pray, may you hear our prayers. So you talk to God for a moment. Ask him to speak to your heart. Oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Help us, Lord, where we would be stiff and unwilling. Soften us up. Help our ears to be perked up. Help us to hear with ears to hear and a heart to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Matthew chapter 6. As we look at Matthew 6 in a moment, God sees our lives. We all know that. God is omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. There's not a place. David says in the Psalms, can I flee into the heavens? Can I flee into the mountains? Can I flee into the sea? And you're not there. God is everywhere. God sees us. This morning, we're going to take three little snapshots of our life where God sees us. We're going to look into our private life for a moment. God sees right through. Like Superman can see right through, you know, X-ray vision. God can see right in the privatest part of our life. God sees our public. You know, we're away from church, we're away from our family, we're out here in public, God sees us. And God sees our church life. He sees how we're intersected in this body. We want to look at those three aspects of our life, our private, public, and our church life, and how we're doing. Matthew chapter 6, please, if you look at verse 4. That thine eye alms may be in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Here the Lord Jesus is talking about people giving alms. What are alms? That's just helping people with, they have a need. Someone in the street corner, they got a tin cup out, you put a quarter, put a dollar, $5 bill in their cup, and you're helping people. God sees that. You reward, you do it secretly. God openly rewards you. And this just reminds us, the Father which seeth in secret himself, I sort of circled that in my Bible, shall open thee, reward thee openly. God knows what's going on in our private life. God knows what you did yesterday. God knows what you did last night. God knows what you did at 2 o'clock this morning. You say, I was snoring. Okay, God knows. Okay, God knows all about our life. And I would like to just sort of go walk down some very basics in your Christian life. God sees your life. First of all, he sees if you spend time with him. I don't know if you spend time with God. I might be able to tell by how you're growing spiritually if you're doing this. But God knows. In Psalm 63, he says this, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. God sees me thirsting after him. God sees if you had time this week to talk to Him. God sees if you lived your life in your energy or His energy. God sees if you spent time in the Word of God to receive from it. The Word of God is God's manna. It's God's bread for the Christian. And when you eat it, it gives you strength in your life. It's the carbohydrates and it's the protein and the water of life that God brings into your spirit that you can grow. And God will reward thee openly a life that's energetic for Him. God sees our prayer and He sees our Bible reading. He sees what we meditate on. There was a man in our church many years ago. He said he'd go to work, and he worked in as an engineer, and a sales engineer, and a lot of the guys were making good money, and that it was a good time in the economy. And he said, Pastor Butts, I tell you, the sales engineers, they continually have these little brochures out. They're going to buy a speedboat and take it down to Galveston. They're going to buy a little cottage and go up on Lake Livingston. They're going to get a brand new kind of car. They got all kinds of little brochures on those cars. They got retirement plans. You know, they're investing their money. He said, it's all they think about. God sees what we're thinking about. What you think about is what you care about. You know, that really convicted me. I found myself not too long ago thinking about a lot of things I was wanting to get done, and I really wasn't thinking about the things that God wanted done. God knows what I'm thinking about. He knows my prayers, my Bible reading, knows my meditation. And you know, our vital time with God alone, our quiet time with God is so vital. So, Pastor Butts, I am so busy. I'm a father. Do you know what comes with a father? I've got 2, 3, 4 children. I have to make money. I'm trying to put them over in that Christian school that you say is so important, and I agree with you. And I'm trying to give to the Lord, and I'm trying to, we got a house, and I got 2 cars, and I come home, my wife says, the lawn needs to be mowed, and the kids need help with homework, and all these different things. What do you mean? Have all this quality time with God? I'm barely able to make it. We do what we want to do. We go where we want to go. I read a lot in the worldly sense. Now, just set the Bible aside for a moment. A man that wants to succeed is just the old axiom. A man that gets up early and goes to bed early is a man that's healthy, wealthy, and wise. And a Christian that learns to get their priorities, gets up a little early and spends time with God. Can I challenge you, ladies? Can I challenge you, men? Teenagers, you got all this homework. Set your alarm for next a half hour early and get up and spend time with God. Are you spending time with God? Don't make excuses for yourself. We do what we want to do, and God sees if we seek Him. Can I read that verse? Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. This was a king. Do you think a king is busy? You. Do you think a king is busy? Busier than you? Oh, I would think so. My soul, King David says, thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth. Does that describe who you are? My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land. And boy, sometimes we feel so empty and so dry. Go spend time with the water of life. Listen, when you get all done and said, it's only going to be what done for Christ that lasts. God sees my personal life. Let me say, secondary God sees. He sees how clean and dirty my life is. God knows my mind. You know, nobody else can see inside this cranium. But God can see right in here, and He knows what I'm thinking. Clean thoughts, dirty thoughts. He knows what I'm dwelling on. And I tell you, thought life is a big thing in Christians' lives. What we dwell on. One of the nastiest lies in the last 20 years is that you can participate on the internet with dirty stuff, and it's only thoughts, it's not real things. The Lord says, if you've lusted in your heart to commit adultery, you have committed adultery. Man, if we were to just talk about that and just spread that all over Christianity, I wonder if God wouldn't refer to this nation, America, and its internet perusing to say, you are a wicked and adulterous-minded people. Amen. Christians, God sees our minds. He sees what we lust after. God sees our body. He sees the personal habits that we have in our life. You may keep your drinking problem hidden. You may keep your smoking. Nobody else knows that you smoke. You may keep some other little things put underneath. But God knows you got that dirty, rotten, stinking sin in your life. And that habit has gotten a hold of you. God sees the sins you're committing. We've talked about the sins you're omitting. God knows when he's told you to do something and you refuse to cooperate. God sees me in my life. 1 Corinthians, turn there please with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, I'm sorry. I told my Sunday school class we would refer to these verses. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of what? We call the Holy Ghost. We usually say what? The Holy Spirit. So what is the dwelling place on earth of the Holy Spirit? The bodies of Christians. That makes my body a temple, or we might use the word a church. You're a walking, talking church. My body is God's dwelling place. He is sealed with the Holy Spirit the day I got saved. He's there to help me, but I can also grieve him terribly, can I not? What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God where? In your body. And where else? In your spirit, which are God's. Do you have a clean heart, a clean mind, a clean body? What do you like? God sees, number three, he sees our witnessing. The Lord tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon ye, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. God sees if we witness. Oh, I talk about this a lot as a pastor, don't I, that we have to be a witness. We should be speaking out for Christ. We are the spokesman for God. We are ambassadors for Christ, as if God himself were beseeching, be ye reconciled to God. That's our command. We will not say amen to that. God sees if I've been a witness. He sees me when I'm with my relatives. You know, we're getting ready for holiday season. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. We're going to run into a lot of family we don't see other times of the year. God sees if my heart is to be a bright, radiant spokesman for Jesus. Are you a witness to your relatives? Are you a witness to your workmates? You go to work every day, every day, every day, and there's that same man, that same lady, the same person at the desk. You're riding the truck with him all day long. You pound iron, you type typewriters, you do all kinds of stuff all day long together. But have you spoken of the thing that matters the most to everybody? Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Is it a priority in your life? Be a spokesman for the Lord. Are you witnessing to your neighbors? Now, isn't it amazing? God, you praise the Lord, you get a brand new house. Amen, we bought our first house, or we rented in a nice neighborhood, or God says, put us upstairs. I've got a neighbor in my apartment complex here, and I got a neighbor here, I got a neighbor down here, or maybe a neighbor up there. God has placed you as a witness. Have you witnessed to your neighbors? Do they know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, I want to be a witness, and maybe we go do all this other, but right where you live, are you a witness? Maybe this week you ought to just say, God, help me to get a burden to go talk to. I've not really gotten to know this neighbor. Go make a cake and take it over and open the door about Jesus Christ. Invite them over for a barbecue or hot dogs or Bluebell ice cream. That'd get me right over. Talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. How about people that you meet? Some of you ride the bus. We had a lady in our church that used to ride the bus. She was almost 65 years old, and every Sunday night after church, she would head downtown, and she was one of these people that watched the security monitors and for all these different places for a big firm. And she would go and ride, and she just would always pray, Lord, help me to find somebody new in the bus to witness to. Always looking for somebody new. Stand at that bus stop, talking to people. I mean, what a wonderful thing to witness. Everybody, have tracts in your pocket. Do you carry Christian literature in your pocket? Do you have, might want to put it this way, you shoot the gospel gun, you got to get bullets in it. Do you carry tracts? Purposing? One of the things that transformed my life as a young person, listen to me. I hope somebody grabs a hold of this morning. The evangelist challenged us, when you get up in the morning, pray that God would open up a door of witness. God, prepare somebody to come to me. And then, Lord, bring us together and give me the boldness to see it. Every day is an opportunity. You look at your life. God sees our witness. Are you a witness for Christ? Are you alive and bright and vibrant? And people see Jesus in you and you're willing to speak out. I just said recently, there are people I run into and they get in their life and something happens where they know they're going to die. There was one of the first ladies in our church that was like this, was Mrs. Duncan. Mrs. Duncan, that just got diagnosed with lung cancer. That lung cancer progressed quicker than you would think, and within 6 months, she's going to be with the Lord. I remember spending the last few hours with her, and she was with the Lord right after that. But in those 6 months, there came a point where she was in the hospital, and she was there for the last 2 months, and she's on oxygen, and they're giving all these things, and people went to see her, and every person, she really loved our teenagers. They come up, grab a hold of her hand, and she would grab a hold, and she wouldn't let go. And she said, I want to ask you a personal question. If you died, are you really saved? And they said, no. Look me in the eye. Do you really know Jesus? She was unashamedly, unabashedly a witness for Jesus. What made the difference? She was always a person before that cared, but now she realized the other stuff just didn't matter. There was one mission she had left in life. Everybody that she loved, cared for, knew, she wanted them to know Jesus Christ, Savior. God sees our personal life. We talk about a soul winner being somebody that shows up to the soul winning times at church. A soul winner is a way of life. And God sees if we are. Let me give you another area in our personal life. God sees what you're like at home. Go home, it's dad, mom, the 2 or 3, 4 kids in the home, it's just you, you're sort of dressed down. I don't know how far you dress down in your home, but you're just sitting there and you're just watching the TV, you're talking, you're listening to stuff, you're conversing as a family, you're taking care of problems, paying bills, you're relaxed, you're tense. God sees you in that let down environment where you really are. Does God see you as a consistent testimony to your mom, brother, sister, children? What do your kids think of you, Dad, spiritually? What do they think of you, Mom? What do they think of you, oldest teenage son or daughter? Maybe you're here like some of you were, like I was. I was sort of like a bus child. My parents were to church. I was the witness in my family. And when I wasn't consistent, my unsaved dad would say, and I was not doing right, he'd say, I thought you were a Christian. And he was right. That's why it hurt so much. Are you living a Christian life, a consistent life behind the door? Are you a helpful member of your family? Are you a deadbeat dad? Are you a lazy mom? Are you a shiftless teenager? Can't get you up out of bed? I have to beg you to go out and take the garbage out? I mean, are you a useful part of your family? I think Christ would have us be a good part of the family. You have a good attitude. You gripe and complain and yell and scream and throw stuff at each other. Oh, I grew up in a home with an unsaved father, and I know what it's like to watch the arguments and fearing and get ready to call the police. I remember times my mom and dad were arguing. My mom would go over and stick a knife in the door so my dad couldn't come in. That ought not to happen in a Christian home. Pick up the microwave and throw it through the window. Take the food and throw it on the floor. Throw in a hissy fit. God sees what we're like. And I'm not just talking about dad and mom. I'm talking about teenagers. Go and wham, the door goes. Stomp, scream, yell. God sees it all. God sees who you are. And if we know Jesus Christ, there's no reason for us to have that attitude. You know, a Christian that does that ought to be under conviction, and within just moments it ought to be come out and say, you know what, my old flesh was in charge. Family, forgive me. I'm talking about dads and moms saying to their kids, I didn't treat you correctly. Are you humble enough to admit when you make a mistake to your family? Are you a good leader, Father? Hey, does God see your family having family altar? For those that may not know that term, dad is responsible in a Christian environment to bring his family regularly to the Word of God, to understand it and to read it, and they ought to do that. You can figure out exactly how, what method you want to do it, but the fact that it's done or not done, God sees. I traveled to Neighborhood Bible Time for almost 39 different Bible Time rallies. I was in a lot of rallies. Over 50% of the places I stayed were the pastor's extra bedroom. I was in the pastor's home. And you know, one of the things I didn't realize until a little bit later, I was in pastor's house after pastor's house where I never saw them have time to pray and read the Word of God together as a family. Shame on the pastor. Can I tell you, God wants us to spend time in His Word. God's, listen, in your family, does God see you as an obedient servant of the Lord? Do you sass your parents, teenagers? I don't care if your parents are saved or unsaved. I had an unsaved dad, and when I sassed him, I was wrong. You talk about your dad as an old man, old goat. That's disrespectful. God says, honor your father and your mother. Do you talk behind their back? I wrote down in my notes this morning the word reputation and character. This is true, husband, father, mother, children, teenagers. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you are when nobody's looking. Can I repeat that? Reputation is what people think you are. You got a good reputation at church. You got a good reputation. But God sees the character you have in your little private zone. What kind of character do you have for the Lord Jesus? Listen, most of the group here this morning, you clearly would say, I know Jesus Christ. You have the reputation of being a Christian. Amen! But what's your character like? We said we go to the second area now, our public life. Look with me, please, if you will, please, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink. This is what they say at Southland, isn't it? They still do that at the lunchtime? Oh, they changed it, okay. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat, let's say it out loud, here we go. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Keep going. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Keep going. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that may be saved. So whether I eat or drink, it's all to the... This is talking about our public life. So I wonder in our lives what God sees in our public life. Everything we do should glorify God. I wrote a couple of sayings here. Your actions speak louder than your words. Your actions speak louder than your words. Second statement, you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. You're the only Bible that some people will ever read. My pastor put it this way, our testimony is a Bible with human skin over it. We think of this as Morocco leather, right? Well, human leather over the Bible that people see and read. It's the only one they'll ever see. By the way, I brought my old Bible that I had when I was in high school. And I was looking through stuff and just the other day, and in the back of my Bible, you can see that it's just front and back are just filled up with things. Can I challenge you? I have already given about four or five good statements. good statements this morning. Character is, reputation is, and you're the only Bible. Write some of these things in your Bible. When I was a teenager, when the pastor was waiting for the church to get started, I would go back and read some of these things, and they were a blessing to me. Let me just pick on a... If Christ is first in your life and you don't have it, then you don't need it. That was a pretty good one. A spirit-filled person doesn't go into excess. A man that won't stand for something will fall for anything. You know, write down some of these. I just loaded front and back of my Bible. These things got deep. They were truths that really spoke to my heart. I encourage you, write down good spiritual anchors in your life. So what are those extra pages for? Well, they're for you to write neat stuff in. The soul winning, all kinds of stuff. Write them down there. And I go back and read these every once in a while. And the other day, Brother Austin and I were reading them back in front of him. We both went to Bible college similar times. And we overlapped a lot of them, didn't we? And it was a blessing to hear those. Write down some of these things that I'm talking about. Your actions speak louder than your words. You're the only Bible some people will ever read. These things are true. Everything we should do, we should glorify God. So let's talk about some areas. On the job. Before the saved and before the unsaved. Unsaved people look at your life and see how you react to the boss. Everybody's griping. What do they see you doing? Everybody's got an undercurrent going, a bad attitude. How do they see you acting? People are sticking stuff in their pocket and sneaking to get it take home. Do they see you doing it? The unsaved see how you walk, talk, and act, and everything. And you know, can I say the saved see the same thing? Isn't it nice to get a job and you find out there's another Christian on the job? Come on. That's neat. But then to find out that they're a dirty, rotten, little stinking bad testimony. You ever had that happen? I wonder if they said that about you. Oh, that's okay. Hey, there's another. What did he just say? What's he doing? Where is he going? What's he promoting? I can't believe he said he was a Christian. You know, God sees what I'm like at work. I heard a story years ago. There was a young man that joined the Marine Corps. His folks really missed him. He was off to boot camp, and I don't know, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it was, after all that early part was over, he got his first leave. Boy, they just couldn't wait for him to get home, but they were so worried about him. He'd been brought up like in our church in a good Christian youth group and living for the Lord, and they were just so worried that he was going to be teased and mocked for Christian faith. And so when he came back, he took his uniform and hung it in the closet and put his duffel bag there, and he took him in. Mama started to feed him, and your bed's all ready for you. Your son son were so excited, and they're just talking to him. They said, "Son, what was it like? Did you get a lot of teasing because you're a Christian?" And he said, "You know, I didn't get any teasing. They never even knew I was a Christian." What a sad thing. Go to your work and say, "Did you know so-and-so is a Sunday school teacher?" "What? Did you know that so-and-so is a member of our church for the last 5 years? He goes to church." What's your testimony like? God sees what I'm like at work. God sees me, what I'm like with my neighbors. We talked about witnessing to them, but let me carry it out. They see if you go to church. If I live next door to a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, I would expect their driveway to be empty on Sunday morning. Sunday night? Whatever their midweek service was? I'd expect them to be at church. Wonder why the Buttses are home. Well, they're home all day Sunday. Must be pastor sick. Well, he's sick a lot. He's home every other week. How come he never goes to prayer meeting? Christians, what do your neighbors think of your testimony? I could go on with that one. What do your neighbors think of your front yard? Say, what? Do you realize your front yard is a testimony? Do you mow your lawn, or are you the ones always getting little notes left on your door? Mow your lawn! We all get the civic club every once in a while. You ever get a civic club notice? And it's for the most ridiculous thing. You ever got one of those? Come on. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about your neighbors say, "I've got a pig that lives next to me, says he's a Christian." Maybe you ought to skip visitation and work on your front yard once in a while. No amens. Okay. Pastor Stephen, you and I would go around checking front yards next week and see how we do. I'm joking. Okay. Actually, Brother Austin's going to do it. Okay. What's the inside of your house like, ladies? Our house ought to look lived in. I told my wife a long time, it's not going to be perfect. Relax. But what do they see our house like? In order, care for it, cleanliness. Well, it's not a scripture verse, but cleanliness is next to godliness. Your neighbors see your life. What do they hear coming from your house? "You do that again!" Oh! Do they see you chasing the kids around? Do they see you chasing your husband around with a frying pan? Okay. Don't let little things like your neighbor's dogs ruin your testimony to witness to them. You ever had a dog wake you up all night long? Woof, woof, woof. And you want to go over, woof, woof. I had a neighbor. When we were starting the church in this neighbor, backyard, everything, and I noticed, I looked out the back window, and I saw the stuff coming over my yard. Branches coming over the yard, clippings coming over the yard. I was so upset, they weren't home. I'm glad they weren't home now. But you know what my temptation was next Saturday when I was cleaning my yard? Isn't that a wonderful thing to lose your testimony over? Their dog got in my garbage. Strew it all up and down the street. I'm going to go over and tell them a piece of my mind. That's a third time. Do I have to go any further? You know, our neighbors see us. Do you know your neighbors see how you drive? Years ago, I got a note in the mail. And it said, "I followed one of your school teachers down the road. And it happened to be that school teacher was very late. And they went through two school zones going 45 miles an hour. pulled through this one, sped in the parking lot, and this person was keeping their eye on them the whole way. And they said, this is the person, this is their license plate number, and I think they teach your school, and you fill in the rest of the letter. How do you answer that one? The devil made me do it. Your neighbors are watching you. They're watching you. Tracy, what organizations do you belong to? You know, whenever you belong to something, you have a connection to it. Does the organization you belong to promote abortion? Does the organization you belong to raise its money by alcoholic type things where they have big beer bashes? That's what they're known for. Does a place that you belong to and you put a lot of your time, they have big old rock concert and dances and beer bust and gambling and garbage that shouldn't be, but you know, you just choose the nice little things, but everybody knows that you belong to this organization. Listen, you can't cut and pick and choose what you associate with. Be careful what you belong to. I don't want to preach too long on that, but Christians, I wouldn't belong to an organization that had its meetings always on Sunday either. That's God's day. That's God's day. I like baseball. I like football. But I know I'm not going to be a part of something that's going to pull me down to the Astrodome or pull me down to the different fields down there every Sunday instead of being in God's house. I'm not going to sign up for it. Be careful. God's watching your public life. Everywhere you go. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Your neighbors see everything you do. Teenagers, often I talk to them about parties they get invited to. You go to the party, you walk up, and up starts the music, and out comes the wrong kind of stuff. You turn around and go home. You turn around and go home. Is that any different than you got invited out by the boss, and the moment you walk in, they hand you a beer at the door? Turn around and go home. Turn around and go home. Out comes somebody, and maybe they're entertainment, and they're dressed, ill-clad, and everybody, turn around and go home. They start to be what they shouldn't be. Don't associate. Don't get noticed with that one. Let me give you one last thing on your public life. The way you dress. I was just reading, I was going back and starting the book of Genesis this week, and I realized, it just spoke to me, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what is the first thing that they realized? They were naked. And the Lord just reminded me, when a person gets saved and the Holy Spirit moves in, he says, get this body covered up. Ladies, you have no business wearing things down here like this. Guys, bend over and ladies get to see everything. Ladies, shame on your testimony. You have no business sitting in dresses where they're up like this and you sit down and there's a clear view of that which only your husband should be seeing. Fellas, you ought to be careful of the places and things you wear. I think a man's hair is a testimony. The Bible says that short hair on a man is a glory to God, and long hair is a glory to God for a lady, and not in reverse. You read it in 1 Corinthians 11. God says it. Why don't you wear long hair? Why is your hair so short, lady? I have cancer. Okay, I understand. But ladies, men, the way that we dress, the things that we do, our nakedness, our modesty. I put down in my notes an illustration. You are a walking sandwich sign. Years ago, there was a man over in England. He's getting ready to have revival meetings. It's back in the early 1900s, and he passed out handouts for the meetings, but he went and had two boards this big made, and with straps, he put one board in front of him. It's called a sandwich sign. He's walking around with a sign in front. He's walking around passing out these, come to our meetings. And on the front of it, he had a scripture verse. I'm a fool for Christ. And you look up the scripture that we're God's fools. In other words, the world thinks we're an idiot because we follow Christ. I'm a fool for Christ. Past people going laughing at him. As they passed and looked in the backside, he had this statement in the back. Whose fool are you? Let me ask you a question. What does your sandwich sign say every day? Do they see the world? Do they see the flesh? Or do they see God and everything that you do? So we've talked about our private life and we've talked about our public life, and these are important things. But let me talk about one last area, and that's our church life. Hebrews 10:25, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it to you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as ye, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day approaching is Jesus coming back. Do you feel from what we know of prophecy that Jesus is about that close to coming? I lost you somewhere here. Does it seem like we're about that close to Jesus coming back? So let's read that verse again. Not forsaking ourselves together, assembling ourselves not as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. Should we be working less or more as we see Jesus getting closer to coming back? More. In the place that God has put his energy, he has created a local church. It's a living organism. We call it the local church. You move into an area, you find the body of Christ. God has put leadership, a pastor, and deacons. He's described it all. And we come and we hook ourselves and we become part of that body of Christ. Amen? So let's look at how's your church? God's watching your church life. It's what he ordained me to be part of. Number one, am I attending? Do I go to the church services? Do I try to support the special efforts that the church body is taking on? There's missions. They're getting ready to build. They're having a revival meeting. By the way, we've got some meetings. It didn't get in the bulletin, but we got some meetings in February coming. Ron DeGard's going to come back and be with us. A good preacher. See that in the bulletin? You say, man, I'm going to put my heart towards being there at the end of February. My heart's lean. I'm not going to take a vacation. I'm going to say no to everything else. No overtime. I'm getting involved in that revival meeting. Amen? Oh, only three. Oh, I'm a little worried. Okay. Listen, you get behind the attending to things whenever there's an opportunity that you can hook in. If you aren't busy for the Lord, then who are you busy for? We're all busy for something. I can't think of somebody I'd rather be busy for than the Lord. Let me ask another question. If you're too busy to serve the Lord, then why does God keep getting the short stick? Why is it that he's the one we cut out and it's not the other stuff? God should be first. And I challenge us, Christians, we need to be busy in God's house. Number two, are you working for the Lord? Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19:17. And he said unto him, Luke 19:17. He said unto him, well done, thou good servant. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, and hast thou authority over 10 cities. And the second one saying, Lord, thy pound have I gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities, and et cetera, and et cetera. God wants us to be faithful, does he not? I need a volunteer. I need about 4 volunteers this morning. You want to be volunteer or voluntold? Who wants to be a volunteer? No volunteer. Okay, here's one. Come up here, please. Okay. You need a volunteer. Okay, Walt, come up here. Jim, come on up here. Oh, I got some good ones. One more. Come up here. All right, have a stand up here, please. I trust these men. Which one do we think is the hardest worker up here? Well, we'll just go with the oldest. Walt, 2 weeks from now, I want you to hold my $20 bill and I want you to bring it back to me. Okay? Next oldest. Yeah, see? Not. Here's a $10 bill. I want you to bring it back to me 2 weeks from now. It's a $5 bill. I don't trust you as much as these two. And you're just new to the Lord. You only get a dollar bill.
I know you're going to act as the person who's amazing.
Yeah, that's right. This is what the Lord did. Okay? They're just going to hold this money. Do you think I've made a bad investment? Now, the Lord told him to go invest it. Please don't do that, okay? Okay? Told him to invest it, and he's going to go on. One has 10 pounds. I went 20 pounds. I was really generous, okay? 10 pounds, 5 pounds, 1 pound. The 10 got more. The 5 got more. The one just buried his and did nothing with it. Which one got the rebuke? The one, because he did nothing with it, and he was faithless with it. You know, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to call you guys up in the church service. I'm going to call up and say, come up here, your four guys. I said, I want my $20 bill. You better have it. The $10 bill, you better have it. $5. They may short me up. I'm going to remember that. Okay? I'm just trying to make this story graphic to you this morning. What is God entitled? Man, you can go back to your seat. God has given you talents. It's yours. You got to bring it back in 2 weeks. Yeah. Thanks for making my point. Can I say to you, that probably is a good point, isn't it? God gave me the ability to sing, to teach classes, to comfort people, to give generously, to clean. You know, some people have the gift of cleaning. Oh, that is a gift. Babysit in the nursery, translate in the Spanish, work with teenagers, bus routes. God gave me ability. He's given me, I have the ability to motivate people. That's a gift. Some people can't motivate anybody, including themselves. Here's my point. God sees our works. And he knows what he gave me to work with. And God expects a fair return on what he left me with. Opportunities, talents. And one day, just like 2 weeks from now, I'm going to call those four back up here. God's going to call us home, is he not? And he's going to say, what'd you do with those 20 talents? What did you do in your church? You had the best voice in the church. You could teach better than most people in the church. You had more money than about seven other families put together. God knows what he gave you. Amen? And God expects us to be faithful. Do you volunteer? Or, like I said, you have to be voluntold. Do you finish what you start? Or do you start and just drop the ball after a little bit? Are you willing to do anything your hand finds to do? When I have somebody coming to be on our pastoral staff, I have a general question. Here's your job description as best I can tell you for a pastoral staff, but would you be willing, not anything naughty or unscriptural, would you do anything that came your way without any complaining? And what do I expect to be filled in that blank? Anything that I possibly can, I will try. You know, that's what my attitude ought to be for this congregation. And if not, there's something wrong with a preacher that wouldn't be that way. Are you willing to do a good job or a halfway job? Only the best for Jesus. A job worth doing is a job worth doing well. We could talk about our giving. I try not to know what people give. Every once in a while, my fingers get involved where I see. I try not to go, because I want to be able to preach and say, Brother Jez, you have no, I don't know. Oh, you've been given lots of money. Come over here, my friend. I don't want to be that way as a pastor. But God knows what you give. I personally believe the Bible teaches that the first part of everything I give doesn't belong to Richard Butts. It belongs to God. And if I'm touching that, it's no different than me teaching on Joshua when that all that stuff that was in Jericho and they touched the accursed thing. Listen, I believe the first part belongs to my God. And I, a long time ago, said, God, that's yours. And God sees what I give and don't give and how I'm giving it, how faithful I am. I make excuses for myself. Boy, we go on these vacations and we skip tithing for 3 weeks. We sure expect our boss to pay us while we're on vacation. God sees. God sees how we give. We make a commitment and say, I'm going to believe God for those missionaries. And about in May, man, you know, some of the things come along and I just sort of drop out the missionaries. I drop out my promises to God. God sees my offerings of my tithe, myself, my gifts, my time. God sees what I'm doing. God sees my doctrine. Listen, you ought to. If I could spend a moment just nailing down a peg this morning, you move from here. And there's good likelihood in the next year some of you will move. Wish I could hang on to everybody, but you're going to move. Don't join a church that has compromised doctrine. Don't go. Well, it's the best I can do. They believe most of the Bible. Well, that'll make God happy, won't it? Get in a church that has good doctrine and good practices. Do they live what they say? Oh, one of the things, there are churches, I don't intend to put names on this, you make your own names, but there are churches in our community that have reasonable doctrine on paper, but it's not what comes across the pulpit. There are churches that have good doctrine, even preach good doctrine, but they practice a worldly type of an atmosphere. Don't be a part of that stuff. Don't be a part of it. So what do? Maybe you could have to start a church in your own living room. I'm not saying there's all perfect churches everywhere. There aren't. But you need to be in a, God sees your doctrine and what you're supporting. Last of all, God sees how you're encouraging the brethren in your church. Don't be an island in your church. In, out, in, out. You don't know anybody. Stick around. Have people over. Intertwine your hearts with other people. Get families that are the same kids' ages. Have them over. Play games together. Do stuff together. Sit together. Encourage each other. Pray for each other. Text each other. But get involved. When somebody's sick, get involved. When somebody's newly saved, get involved. When you see somebody falling in temptation, don't desert them. Go lift them up. Do you know, if I were backslidden this morning, I might not like to see Pastor Stephen come to my door. I might say, I know why he's here. He's here because I haven't been away from the Lord. But you know, in my heart, if I'm right with God, I would say, Pastor Stephen, sick him. Stay after me till I get right. I may not want you to come and get after me, but I know that's what I need. Be thankful if another church member calls you up. It says you've been away. You've been out of church for 2 months. You're living like you never said you were. Get right with God, John. Come on, Susie. You know better. Are you the kind of Christian that goes out in Galatians chapter 6 that you help a fallen brother, or are you a criticizer? God sees our hearts. I could go on this morning. I'm trying to cover. God sees our life. He sees it privately. And he sees all the way that I tried to live a life that's this way. And God sees who I really am. God sees my public life, that my face out here to the unsaved, maybe others, my neighbors, they all see who I am. And God knows my relationship at my church. They ought to all blend together to a glory to God. That's God's desire, that our life be real. Do you know what people, God is searching this, but can I tell you, in the communities, they may not admit it, but people are looking for the real thing. A word that popped up recently, maybe last 8 or 10 years, they're looking for an authentic Christian. They're looking for the real deal. God's work depends on faithful men and women. Do you pray for your pastor? Are you praying for the spiritual health of your church? Maybe this morning there's some areas in your personal life that nobody has a clue. You have been hearing preaching recently and you know it needs to be made right. Just get it right. Be clean. God knows and you know you're under conviction. You know at work, you know in your neighborhood that the light needs to get brighter, then get busy. You need to blossom for God where you are. I know people that move to Houston, some love it and some detest it. Man, I'm in the city, everybody's on top of each other. I'm all this stuff, traffic, and man, it's tough. You know what? God put you your blossom. I look out in my driveway where it's all hard cement, and there's stuff that comes right up through all that. They blossom where they're planted. And I'm going to move in a year or two, 3 years. I don't intend to be here for 6 months. Bloom while you're here. Get busy for the Lord. In my life, I'm thankful for Dave Lyon, Ken Brodigam, Frank Brodigam, Lawrence Smith, and Vermont Blakesley. You maybe have heard one or two of those names. Those were five men that were the leaders of Panama Baptist Church. I'm not talking about the pastor. Those men I watched from the time I was a young boy. Vermont was that newest deacon that just came up on the board. He didn't know much, and the others were always short. And then you take the Brodigams, Ken and his brother Frank. They were the two old men. I mean, they're like 75, 80 years old, and they were the strong men. And then there was the ones in between. And then one was my next-door neighbor that took me to church every Sunday. Our church, if you had taken those five men out, would have just been a little pea rattling around in a pod. But these five men stepped up, and you know, I lived in a teeny small community where everybody's miles away from each other, and I knew these men personally because I played with their kids. I went to their house and spent the night. I knew these guys publicly because my dad, unsaved, intersected and sold and bought and did different things with these men. And I knew them at church. And you know what I say about these five men? They were the real deal. Not perfect. My challenge to us is to be the real deal. When I was in Bible college, I went down to Decatur, Atlanta area, every weekend my junior year. There was a pastor that I was doing church internship all year long. And one day he was talking to a couple boys that were working. He said, I got a great big project that needs to be done. A lot of times I'll say in church, I need a volunteer. And he said, I'll tell you how I sort of judge. Church is pretty good at volunteering. He said, if I have something that absolutely is critical to get done, and up pops the hand of the busiest person in the church, you would say, don't give it to them. He said, that's the man to choose. That's the lady. Because that person has demonstrated faithfulness. I wonder if God needed a job to be done at home, at work, at church, would you be right up there at the top of his list? Here's a man that I know privately, publicly, and at church. May God stir your heart. Listen, I want God to use me. I want God to use you. I want our church to make an impact for Christ. And I want when we stand before God, that God will say, amen. Well done, good Wasai Baptist Church. Good and faithful. And I don't want you to be left behind. Teenagers, you're just developing that character. Don't hide behind your youth. Paul said to young Timothy, be thou an example of the believer. Lead the way. Dad, lead the way. Mom, be faithful. New Christian, catch the vision. Let's be what God wants us to be. Do we stand to our feet for a word of prayer?